He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Good morning. What's going on? How are you feeling today?
I feel great. I feel really, really good.
Even without the sun?
Even without the sun. I did my deadlifts the other day, and I'm feeling the effects of my deadlifts and a little sore, but nonetheless, I'm sore in all the right places.
That's a good
places.
Thing, right?
Well, I'm sore, and I feel like I worked.
Yeah.
And I feel it in all the right places, exactly where you're supposed to feel it when you do deadlifts.
Yeah. Well, I think people are used to not feeling themselves. They're kind of numb.
Yeah.
So when they work out for the first time and they perceive that that event is going to be so horrendous and so horrible, that is what motivates them not to go to the gym.
Oh, I know. I've worked.
They're afraid of what they're going to feel like when they get to the gym after not being for so long, or maybe they've never been.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about later on. But I think the thing is, I've done that myself years ago where I trained and like 2 days later, I couldn't even walk down the stairs. Sitting on the toilet like was painful, bending over. And I overdid it, really overdid it. And let's just say that I was probably not well hydrated. I didn't stretch it out. So there was a lot of things that I could have done to prevent that soreness.
Yeah, you remember that really heavy set guy at the CHFA trade shows, and he said he had this disorder.
Low body awareness.
Low body awareness.
And he was like 800 pounds.
Yeah, that's what the doctor said that he had, low body awareness. Right. So he wasn't aware of himself.
Well, there you have it. Everybody else was.
How could you not be, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wonder how many people out there also have no awareness of themselves.
Yeah, I don't know.
And if you live in a bubble and you have a really mild, sort of safe life, and you've never experienced pain, what would it be like for that person to really experience pain? Because ultimately, everyone on some level is going to experience
some kind of
pain.
There was a movie about that you just watched. Remember that?
About someone who doesn't experience pain?
It was the 12 ninjas or something like that, wasn't it? There was a movie about that?
The 13 ninjas, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy was a psychopath.
Yeah.
He got off on watching people suffer because that's what it took for him to feel some stimulation.
Right.
Life itself was incapable of providing him with that. So he would watch people being impaled or being tortured. And
he never felt pain in his own life.
And he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because it made him feel alive. And then when he was in this battle in the movie, watching all these people getting hacked up and terrible, terrible fighting episodes. Really bizarre. Great movie, by the way. The great message.
Yeah.
But this guy was just like really enjoying the process. And they say that about 1% of America is a psychopath. That's how many psychopaths are out there. 1% of the
1%
population.
Is a lot.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
And these are people that have no sense of remorse, have no sense of compassion or empathy, and they actually enjoy watching people suffer.
Wow.
Isn't that bizarre?
It is bizarre. It really is. Something in the brain isn't functioning, isn't triggering.
Yeah, or maybe they're the ones that are more true to the nature
maybe
of what a human is.
Maybe that's the way it's supposed to be.
And we're the ones
we're the
with
ones
all the
that
problems.
Are all not triggering.
But,
probably.
You know, I'm going to choose the moral path.
Yeah.
Because that's being true to myself. Yeah. Because I detest violence and can't stand watching people suffer. And I would prefer to do almost anything not to make that happen.
I said,
Have you ever tried to listen to yourself think? You can't really hear it. It's not an audible voice. You can hear yourself. Like right now, I'm going to say something in my mind. Okay, everybody out there, can you hear it? They can't hear it, but I heard it. There's nothing to hear because there's nothing audible. So how do you hear yourself think? Well, you don't. Isn't that kind of weird?
Well, you can talk to yourself.
It's like a consciousness. It's an awareness of yourself, but there's no one. You can't actually hear yourself talk.
You know what?
I mean, I can hear myself talking
You're
now.
You're weird.
No, I'm not.
You're really weird.
Good. I don't want to be normal. Okay, let's move on to our first topic. What's cooking?
What's cooking is fresh juicing. And we've been fresh juicing quite a bit the last couple of months, haven't we?
Juicing, man. I love it.
Now, we fresh juice every single morning. We do the citrus juice, which is a grapefruit, orange, lemon, and lime. And that's what we fresh juice every morning. And now we've incorporated, we used to alternate vegetable juice with the citrus juice. And now what we're doing is I'm adding, incorporating two vegetable juices in the day and the citrus juice in the morning. I get on a roll sometimes where I just really want to do a lot of it. And I'm really feeling the benefit. I guess I'm feeling the benefits. I just feel really good.
Well, it's liquid food, actually.
Yeah.
It's part of the dietary format. It is food itself, just liquefied, and we all know that when we've seen the juice man on the commercials. But when you actually do it, we talk about the labor of love that's involved with doing this. And yesterday I juiced. You had made a whole great big bowl of plants, mm-hmm. right? Mainly vegetables.
Yeah.
It was beets, carrots.
And ginger, celery, lemon, yeah. cucumber.
And so apple. You've got to have a device for juicing. And then you juice it, and that takes time, and it's a little messy. And then I'm sitting there cleaning up, and part of the process is cleaning up. Mm-hmm. That's the part that gets people down. That's the part that motivates people not to juice. They, after a while, realize that, like training and exercise, it takes work.
Yeah.
But there's a relationship between the benefit and the work output.
Absolutely. I just can't imagine my life without it. I don't even really think about the work of it. And then I know I'll prepare the what I'm going to make for the juice ahead of time, because like sometimes I come home from the gym and I just don't feel like cutting up the vegetables. They're already done. And all I have to do is juice them. But it's part and parcel. Preparing the vegetable, actually buying the vegetables, carrying the vegetables, cleaning the vegetables, cutting them up, juicing, drinking the juice, and cleaning up after. It's a process, but it's, hey, I'd rather do that than sit in the doctor's office for an hour waiting for a diagnosis.
Yeah, you really got to focus on the benefits of juicing. And if you don't get that, if you don't review, at least on occasion, the value of juicing, you can lose insight mentally
yeah.
as to why you're doing it. And then you can get caught up in the work of the juicing. And then lose motivation to juice.
Exactly. And if you don't want to go out and buy a brand new juicer, yada, 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 what you can do is go to some of these garage sales, because my girlfriend is a garage sales person.
Junkie,
just
man.
Junkie. She loves it. Anyway, she took me around one Saturday's the best time to go. And I tell you, there were so many juicers that are brand spanking new, maybe used once. And then the person thought to themselves, well, you know, this is way too much work. So you can buy a $100 juicer, a $200 juicer for $40.
Even less.
You can barter, ask them, man. Oh, $25. But it's brand
it's just
new.
Sitting there collecting dust and nobody wants
nobody
it because
wants
no
it.
One's willing to work at juicing.
Yeah, exactly. So if you want to try it out and you never tried it before, go to a thrift store or a garage sale and go pick one up and just Google some of the different juices that you can make. But what we do and what I pretty much do all the time is I use ginger. And ginger is really good for inflammation. And beets. Beets are really good for hypertension. These are just some of the things they're good
for. Well, Colgan wrote in his book, his newest book lately, The Anti-Inflammatory mm-hmm. Diet, a lot about ginger.
Yeah.
That's a big one yeah. for reducing yeah. inflammation.
And the taste is so good and really inflammation. And digestion.
Never mind an aspirin a day.
Yeah,
take garlic and ginger.
Lemon and lime. It just is so fresh tasting. It's really great for the skin. Also digestive system. The green apple can help lower cholesterol. Celery, it can calm the nerves. It's got a lot of sodium, which is a good sodium. And electrolytes. Cucumber, great with calcium. And it's so refreshing. But that's kind of the combination that we like to use. The juice is extracted from raw fruits and vegetables. Require very little digestion, so it's really easy on your system. On almost all their vital nutrients are assimilated directly into the bloodstream.
Well, the absorption capacity obviously is not impeded by fiber, and the incapacity that people have to chew their food correctly. You know, you got to chew your food well. You got to mm-hmm. masticate mm-hmm. your food. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, when it gets down into your gut and through the pyloric valve into the small intestine, you start absorbing it. So liquid, anything. This is why shakes are so good.
Yep.
But for little babies and for old folks, right? Now, things that are good for them are good for everyone in between.
Mm-hmm,
it's just
mm-hmm.
that because we can tolerate more abuse between being a baby and being an old person,
well, because
we tend not to do a lot of those things.
Because we have teeth, right? But we're not chewing effectively. I mean, that babies don't have teeth. You know, their teeth aren't probably as good as they could be. So they, and their digestive systems have been abused their whole life, probably, more than likely. They don't have the enzymes that they need to break things down. It's very rich in alkaline elements.
Yeah.
Juicing. Very,
which are what? Potassium,
very
sodium,
alkaline.
Calcium, magnesium, mm-hmm. zinc.
Highly beneficial in normalizing your alkaline acid balance. So if you're finding that you're very acidic, which most people are.
99% of the population.
So get on the fresh
has an
juice.
Acid-forming diet. So you can turn it right around and do miraculous things. And here's the nature of what people perceive as being a miracle. A miracle is not something supernatural. It's something that can be explained, but it seems to be miraculous because no one is really aware of the scientific process associated. Like even, for example, alkaline elements. Just go up to the average person on the street and ask them this question. Give me one or two examples of what an alkaline mineral would be. And they have no idea. Now, their knowledge of food is next to nothing other than they know it tastes good and they eat it. But they don't really know what it is. And I think that part of what I'm getting is that people have no relationship with food mm-hmm. other than it's just something you eat when you're hungry and it tastes good.
Tastes good and to fill you up.
Good. Yeah, but they don't get its chemistry. Yeah, they don't have an intimate knowledge. It's like in many relationships, people have no intimacy with their partner. They don't communicate. They don't spend any time with each other. They don't talk about mm-hmm, history mm-hmm. Or what they believe in or what they want to do. It's mm-hmm. bizarre.
Well, fresh juices such as garlic, onions, radish, and tomatoes do contain some antibiotic substances. You know, if you feel like you're getting a little infection, maybe a little bronchitis, some stuffy nose, sinusitis, get some garlic into you. You can juice garlic. Carrot's always a nice one. I really
it's
like
a good base.
The carrot, lemon, ginger. Ah. Oh. It just is so good. That's a really, carrot, lemon, ginger, and green apple is usually the main. That's the base of what we do. And then we add the beets and the cucumber and the celery. And I never waste anything. I mean, we do our veggie plates. You do your veggie plate every day with your everyday healthy salad dressing. And sometimes the little ends of the vegetables, well, I might want to throw away. Juice them. You don't need to waste anything. That's the, I mean, especially when you're buying really nice organic vegetables that cost a lot of money. Don't waste it. What I've done in the past is the pulp of the carrots, for example, immediately I would be prepared to make a cake or muffins, right?
Yeah.
So I try not to waste anything. And I think that's what...
But you can also put that into a compost if you have a garden or whatever.
You can put it in a compost, absolutely. There's all different kinds of things
you can
do.
You can recycle all this stuff.
Yeah, you know, like you don't need to waste anything. There's just so much waste going on.
Well, let's use nature as a standard. She doesn't waste nothing.
No, don't waste anything. But, you know, really, try to get into juicing. It is work, but what is work? Willing to have order to repeat the knowledge. And that's what good health is, a four-letter word, work.
Yeah, and I love to have... fresh juice in the morning. It just kind of picks me up and cleanses and detoxifies. Now, here's where, in relation to what we were talking about before, about not being aware of yourself. So I like to be aware of myself, how I feel, how I look, the whole thing. It's all about me in my world, in my universe. So how I feel is relative, and I like to feel good and clean and healthy and vibrant and high energy. So when you have a good workout, for example, you can feel yourself working under the strain. You can feel yourself. You're aware of yourself. And when you have a good meal after that, and part of this would be some fresh juices. When I consume those juices afterwards and it's fresh and it's raw and it's just nutrient dense.
Drink it immediately. Drink
it
immediately.
When that goes down, I can feel my body sucking it in.
It's great, isn't
it? You know, another good example is an ice cold beer on a hot day in Maui after you've been body surfing for an hour.
There you go.
There's a great sensation.
Yeah.
So I get the same sensation from drinking that juice.
Yeah, I do too.
I do. It's beautiful.
And I think everybody does who juices. They all feel that. It's hard to even explain what it is, but it just feels like, oh, this is heaven. Heaven on earth right now. We always add just a tad of vitamin C.
Yes.
Just like a quarter of a teaspoon of the vitamin C powder, calcium ascorbate.
And more if there's a viral infection or
right,
an illness
exactly.
that you're treating.
Uh-huh. Now, if you want to, you can also add in a shaker cup the juice with a scoop of protein powder if you want and shake it up.
Yeah, I tried that the other day. I just added a scoop of whey isolate and shook it up and
I've
down
done
the
that
hatch.
Many, many, many times. Depends on what you want to
do. Get creative.
Yeah, get creative. But, you know, try to get those fresh juices in. I would say that you would want to drink it immediately for to get the most benefit from it.
Yes.
And if you're not going to
degrades quickly.
If you're not going to drink it immediately, then add some vitamin C powder to it. But
you can seal it in a thermos. You can add it to a thermos and put the lid on very tight and you can keep it. But oxygen destroys this stuff.
Yes.
And so does light and heat, right?
So, I mean, I would drink it right away.
Yeah, that's the best way.
I would drink it right away. But you can. I mean, with the lemon or lime, there's vitamin C. That creates vitamin C.
Yeah, like for example, you could juice a whole liter of the stuff and take it to a friend in a hospital.
Yeah.
And by the time that you got it there and that he consumed it or she consumed it, it would still be okay.
Yeah.
But as soon as you open that container and pour it out, you don't want to leave it sitting around.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody, please get into juicing.
Yeah, you know, and read a book on juicing and get on the internet and start looking at juicing to motivate yourself to get that juicer out of the cupboard, put it in a prominent place right in your face. You know, that's another problem. People clean up the juicer and then they put it away and they put it out of sight.
Yeah, ours is right
put
on our counter.
Put it on the kitchen counter and start using that darn thing
on a regular
basis.
And all the apparatuses, everything I need is right there. I just take it down.
We raised our kids on juices. Yeah. We used to juice every day for our kids. Yeah. We never gave them any apple juice out of a container,
You can also juice like green apple and I put a little bit of vitamin C powder in it.
We used to make popsicles.
I make popsicles out of it.
We would juice pineapple and fresh tropical fruits and then you pour that into the ice popsicle container and freeze it.
Oh, yeah.
Kids loved it.
There's a lot of things you can do.
And it was raw juice and had vitamin C inside.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And also, if somebody with cancer, never mind the chemo, the radiation, and the surgery.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that, you know, could be an option at the very end of the line, but it's not something that I would ever consider doing in my life. I would rather embrace death and fight with a sword in my own hand, and the sword is going to be nutrition and exercise. Mm-hmm. And if you get to the point where you're literally dying of cancer, I am going to fight my own fight. I'm not going to let other people that are being paid to do it, like mercenaries, who really don't have the same caring component as I do for myself.
Yeah.
How can they possibly care about me the same way that I do?
Exactly.
They're not your direct family members.
No.
They're doing it generally for money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's an assembly line. So pick up the sword of the juice container, man. Juice, juice, juice. And start doing like 5, 6, 7, 8 quarts a day if you got cancer.
Yeah, exactly. Or any type of...
Meditate, relax,
calm
down.
Gout or anything like that. But you need to go on Google or get yourself a book to find out what sort of vegetables would help or vegetables or fruits would assist in what your particular problem is. But usually I would say ginger, carrot, lemon, green apple would be a really good one to start with. Sometimes the beet, if you overdo the beet, you might get a little bit nauseous.
Yes.
So just, you know, just be careful. Go for it. Just absolutely go for it.
Right on.
All right.
Yeah. So juice away.
Mm-hmm.
Juice your way to heaven. All right. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Dr. Ann Blake Tracy. Dr. Tracy is one of my big Facebook friends. And boy, I read every day on my Facebook. She's got an amazing myriad of stories that she's working on or has worked on regarding the side effects of medication. Like she does a lot of court cases.
Oh, yeah, some really high-profile ones, too.
Really high-profile.
I'm just looking at her bio now and get to this bio on our site. But Phil Hartman, you remember him? SNL. So, I mean, he was one of my favorite comedians. And I remember that was a fiasco. His wife shot him, apparently.
Yeah.
Columbine, I mean, everyone knows about that. Andrea Yates, this Texas mother who drowned her 5 children. The Atlanta Day traitor, Princess Di. Who didn't know about that death? The murder-suicide of the royal family of Nepal and Anna Nicole Smith. Now, we all know her through the media, right?
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Tracy was involved in all of those court proceedings, and she claims that all of those people, in one way or another, were taking Prozac and that their abstract, aberrant behavior was related to them taking this prescription medication.
Wow.
These bizarre behavior patterns of these people are either directly or indirectly related to kids and adults taking prescribed medication as prescribed, and it really does truly destroy the brain.
I wonder how, like, she really does fascinating work. And with all this research and the testimonies that she gives, I wonder how she feels when she knows that this is what's going on, you know, on a personal level.
Because well, she feels really dismayed, disheartened.
Yeah.
You know, even when I was talking to her, she just felt, I could sense the sense of despondency and the hopelessness.
Yeah.
Because she knows that she's not making an impact at all. She was talking about when she started and the revenues at that time.
Yeah.
They went from in the millions to now like at $40 billion.
Yeah.
So she said, I've made absolutely no impact at all with everything that she's done.
What she's doing is she's confirming it to us. And we
these people are always preaching to the choir.
But you know what? That's okay, because what she's doing is making it clearer to us that we're on the right track. These kind of people that, you know, who she's working with.
Well, you know, I read somebody said something the other day. They said the only people that are accountable and responsible for their lives are the ones who know that they are accountable and responsible for their lives. So if you don't know that, if you're not consciously aware of the fact that you're responsible for your life, generally, as a general rule, you don't think you're responsible for your life.
That was
you're
Bruce
a victim
Lipton.
And you blame everything on everything else. The world, people, your family, genetics, everything but you. You have no role in who and what you are.
That was Bruce Lipton.
Bruce Lipton,
exactly.
What a great guy, man.
Exactly.
I really want to interview
him. We're working on it. I want everybody to know I am always working on people to get for SNU. And sometimes they never get back to me, or they say
or they
will,
take their time, or
and
goes
they
on
don't,
and
yeah. they just don't have
but
time.
But we have to be persistent, dear.
You know what they say? If people say, oh, I'm just too busy. Well, isn't there a saying that if you want to get something done, ask a busy person?
For sure.
And I'm thinking, how can you be too busy for a 30-minute interview to spread the gospel of what you're doing?
If you want to get good service in a restaurant, go to a super, super busy restaurant.
Yeah. So I'm always trying to get special guest interviews and some of the top-notch people, so just bear with me. Anyway, I just want to really thank Dr. Ann Blake Tracy, and she is on Facebook, if you're on Facebook. So if you're more interested in more of her work as well. All right then. Thank you.
Cool. So what's going on with the CHI update?
CHI update. Okay. We are getting a brand new website, which is going to be happening in the next couple of months.
Working.
Things always take three times longer than you anticipate in business. So that calm down about that.
Yeah, especially when I'm doing it because, you know, I like to edit everything and go through everything and regurgitate and process and take my time.
Mm-hmm. So what I've been doing on a personal level, what I've been asked to do by the boss here, is I'm listening to all the SNU He Said, She Said from 2002. And it's kind of interesting going back 10 years.
There's a lot of good stuff in there.
A lot of good stuff. Goodness gracious. And cataloging everything. So it's going to be easier for everyone to get into it and find out different recipes or things that we discussed and talked about. So I'm just having a good time listening to what we talked about and discussed. And it's good to go back and listen and review. It really is. And that's the beauty of what SNU is all about.
It's like picking up a book you haven't read for 20 years and rereading it.
Exactly.
And then you go, wow, that's... And then something timely and relevant that you read that was unimportant back then is all of a sudden really important now because you've changed.
Exactly.
The book has been sitting there.
Absolutely.
Or on the shelf, and it hasn't changed at all, but
you've changed.
And now your capacity to perceive or receive has changed.
What else is new? I'm training Len's wife. Len is our
Susan
studio manager.
What a great student and what a great person.
Yeah, and she's really getting stronger. She's enjoying it.
Well, she's
really
got you as a teacher, and she's enthusiastic.
Very enthusiastic.
She's got something on her side, which again is missing in the common man or woman. It's called desire.
Without
desire, there's no potential for nothing.
Yeah.
You got to have the desire. You got to be willing.
Yeah.
Right?
And yesterday we were doing incline dumbbell presses, and she's getting stronger.
Yeah.
It's so great to
see. You're probably seeing her neurological
health improving. Yes, I am.
Her
Absolutely.
Balance.
Yeah, the balance.
And this is a great thing about free weights,
exactly.
About lifting weights. People think, oh, lifting weights, what a bunch of dough heads. Hey, you have no idea about the physics involved with lifting weights correctly. It's a science.
Yeah.
That's why it's taught in every university on the planet. They have a department called exercise physiology. So if you think that weightlifting is for
muscle heads
and Neanderthals, think again, my friend, because every department in every university of exercise physiology is staffed by PhDs and brainiacs. And they're all teaching people the benefits of exercise.
Well, one of the things that I like is the fact that she's seeing it herself. She's seeing, well, one side's stronger than the other, and I'm really shaky, and I'm saying, this is why we do this particular exercise, which is the dumbbells, right? And then we do the barbell. So you can use both hands, and then
Bilateral versus unilateral.
Exactly. So she sees it herself, not me just telling her, right?
Well, you split the body in half. You got two different sides.
Absolutely. That ain't,
you know, the sides of the body, they're not identical, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, so that's good.
Maybe if you even compare your hands or your feet, you can see differences. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of differences that are inside as well.
So
and you meet those differences head on when you're lifting.
Right. And she's not just exercising. She's also taking her protein shakes and her supplements.
Nice.
And she's got the diet down. So, you know, she'll see a lot of benefits. And she's not as sore, you know, like the DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness. She doesn't have as much of that as she could have if she didn't. You know, she's doing in a yoga class as well, which is really great for the stretching. And she's doing step classes, which is good for her cardiovascular and the weight training.
Well, that's why training is not just about training. It's about nutrition.
She's all
it's
around.
It's about philosophy, state of mind.
Yeah. She's digging it.
It's mental, emotional, and physical as well as spiritual.
Yeah she's it's awesome. I'm really enjoying it, and she is too. And another thing I just wanted to discuss is a couple of our friends are going in for some routine surgery, and they've been emailing you, Corey, and they've been asking, how do you prepare for this? What do I do to prepare to go into surgery? It's not like an emergency medical procedure. It's something that they know they need to do.
If you're getting involved with conventional medicine, the best thing I recommend is run. Run as fast as you can in the opposite direction.
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding. If you've decided to opt for surgery and you're going to comply with the procedure, so then you want to cleanse, detoxify, go in a state of strength, not in a state of weakness. Like sometimes people have surgery because it's emergency,
right?
You know, appendicitis, or they've been in an accident.
Yes.
But if you're planning for this, what can you do? Well, we talked about juicing.
Yes.
There's something you can start doing.
Exactly.
Start to cleanse. Go on a really super clean diet. Pretend that your surgery date is a bodybuilding event and you're preparing for a show, or maybe it's the Stanley Cup, or maybe the Super Bowl, and you're the athlete. What are you going to do to prepare for that event? You're going to get in the best possible shape so that you can perform at your highest level of capacity, right? You don't party, stay out late, start acting like an idiot, you know, just before your surgery.
And a patient needs to be patient. That's a big one. That's a big one, because a lot of people that go in for surgery or who are not well, they tend to be impulsive. They tend to be impatient. You need to be patient because it takes time to heal.
Yeah. I think you need to clean up the bowels. You don't want to go in there with your bowels all stuffed and you know what. So, and then you take the drugs, the medication, the antibiotics, the general anesthetics.
It's just going to plug you up.
Yeah, they're going to constipate you. And you got a bunch of crud.
No matter how healthy
you
are, you're going to get plugged up.
Nothing wrong with a little bit of fasting. You could do a 3-day fast. You could do some soups, herbal teas, broth, some fasts. Meditate, lots of sleep, lots of rest.
So that's
get
before?
Get ready for war.
What about after? What about after going to surgery? You're going to be on some medication, I'm sure. Just maybe, sometimes they say up to 6 weeks, but I mean, I don't think that...
Oh, they're always going to play it safe.
Yeah, exactly.
It protects them from liability.
So let's say for maybe 1 week, you're going to be on some medication for pain, and depending on what you're
going
in
for... Make
sure you
got plenty of ice around. Ice packs.
Ice, okay,
ice is still one of the most reliable types of therapy for pain management.
And juicing and herbal teas.
Make sure you got your backup.
And
ahead.
That's what I've been doing lately, is because just for something to do, because I don't like the look of the soup, is when I put everything into my soup, then I blend it. I'm into this blending my soups, right? Pureeing.
Puree, right.
Yeah, pure. So it might have some rice or some barley or some quinoa and all different types of vegetables in it, and maybe some meat, fish, chicken, whatever. But I blend it all together, right?
Yep.
And it makes a puree. So that would be easier for someone who just had surgery than the soup that's not pureed.
Right.
Yeah? They can drink it.
Light.
They can drink the soup.
You're laying in bed and you're...
They can actually suck it through a straw.
Convalescing.
Yeah.
You don't want to throw a lot of heavy food in the system.
Right.
You want light food, easy to digest food.
Okay, great.
Right?
Good.
It's pretty simple stuff.
All right, then.
You know, they do want you to avoid fluids prior to surgery. So that one is hard to accept for the true naturalist. somebody that's used to drinking a lot of juices and taking a lot of fluids and who's just absolutely convinced that you need to go into this well hydrated.
Yeah.
So, but that's what they require. It's all about making their job easier.
Yeah.
And less difficult for them at our expense in some cases.
Yeah.
So the other thing is get on the internet, research it, watch the YouTube videos, get involved in the nature of the surgery. If you're going to have a heart transplant or any kind of surgery, learn
your
about the
surgery. Your tonsils out or your eyes.
Face the music.
Done or, yeah,
embrace
exactly,
it.
Yes. Find out what it
Read
is.
Read up on it. Yeah. Get onto forums. Find out what people have done.
Learn
find
the language of what it is, right?
Exactly.
Know what you're doing.
And go to the hospital in advance. And what hospital is it? And what are their treatment procedures? And what have you heard? And has anyone else been there? You know, do some homework. Do your due diligence. Yeah.
And there you have it.
There you go.
So if you know anybody, if you or you know anybody who's preparing to go into surgery, elective surgery, let's say, you know, some kind of, you know, something that you want to do, then PPP, the pre-party potion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prepare in advance.
That's right. Exactly.
And mainly get tough in your head and accept what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
How does that saying go?
Like a good Boy Scout.
Yeah.
Prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
Right. That way, if the worst comes, you're ready for it. And if it doesn't, that's even great. And again, I think that surgery is best prepared for in advance by being in a state where you don't need any. But we are human and we fall down and break apart and dematerialize. So it's probably going to happen to almost everyone on the planet. And unfortunately, it happens too frequently for some people because there's money to be made with surgery. And there's always an issue with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the motivation on the side of the physician monetary? Is the surgery truly necessary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the surgery I'm about to have really necessary or not? What's the upside? What's the downside?
Right.
Okay, what is your final word?
My final word is by Tracy K. Hawley to Corey Hawley. If you live to be 100, Corey, I want to live to be 100 minus one day so I never have to live without you. That's my little Valentine thing for you. So happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Oh, that's nice, sweetheart.